And again, it's about, let's not blame that hotel yet.
Yeah.
Let's see what they're going to do now that they know.
Yeah.
And that's the key.
Human trafficking doesn't always take the form we first imagine. It can be found at almost any level of an organization's supply chain. What can compliance professionals do to assess human trafficking risk, and how can they leverage the resources of the organizations they work for to help root out this tragic problem? Gwen Hassan is here to help. This is Hidden Traffic.
Hello, and welcome to a new episode of Hidden Traffic. I am your host, Gwen Hassan, and I am very pleased to have with me today Sandy Byback, who is the founder of Meeting Professionals Against Human Trafficking. Thank you for joining me today, Sandy.
Well, thank you, Gwen, and I really appreciate the opportunity.
So let's start out with a little bit about you. Tell our listeners kind of about yourself and your history, your background. That would be really helpful.
I've been in the industry of planning conferences and events for well over 40 years before it was considered an official industry.
Yeah.
And I did a lot of working mostly with associations in the association field. I also did a lot of volunteering. I volunteered a lot in associations within our industry, like Meeting Professionals International, PCMA, and so on and so forth.
Okay.
So I've always been an active volunteer. In 2016, my husband and I did a trip to Vietnam and Cambodia, which was not spur of the moment, but it was like, gee, this looks great. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the cruise company that we chose and that we still do a lot with believes in giving back to the community. And a lot of the shops they directed us to and a lot of the entertainment on board were NGOs. Okay. And when we were in Phnom Penh, I had said to one of the cruise people, so where can I go to buy stuff to bring home? Yeah. And they directed us to Daughters of Cambodia, which was at the time literally a 5-10 minute walk up the street from where our river ship was docked.
Okay.
So we went in and I saw a sign, and the sign basically said, we're here to help you and basically work with mostly girls who have been trafficked.
Oh.
And I went, oh, this really happens?
Yeah.
There was a couple of other things I saw. And then I came home and I knew I was about to retire, but I thought, you know, you can't retire without something to do. So I started investigating in Toronto, which is where I'm from. And I wound up talking to the then head of Toronto's Human Trafficking Police Department. Boy, were my eyes open.
Oh, I can imagine.
It was pretty scary, to be honest. One thing led to another, and I decided to do a breakfast meeting and said, okay, so how can we combine our resources and do something? And the interesting thing was, is that no hotel wanted me to come in. I'd been with hotels for 40 years, so I'd given them a lot of business over the years. A graduate student of mine who works at one of the large churches in Toronto said, come on into our event space. The rest, as they say, is history. We'll be 7 years old in April.
So that was the kind of impetus for the founding of the Meeting Professionals Against Human Trafficking?
Yeah.
And 7 years later, here you are. That's amazing.
7 years later, doors are opened, most hotels. There's been a lot of progress in the research and everything on it as well over the last 7 years. But it was always, well, it's happening over there. The people that are being brought in that are trafficked are not Canadians. We know that 90% of those trafficked in Canada are Canadian born.
Oh, wow.
The same would be equivalent in the U.S. as well, I'm sure. And there's a lot of stuff being done in the U.S. and Canada. We're finally noticing that, hey, we have a responsibility here in the hotel industry and lots of other industries. But our focus is the hotel industry and those that plan conferences in hotels.
Your organization, if I'm understanding it, please correct me if I'm not getting this right, but it's kind of a collective, if you will, of everyone who's in this industry who all share kind of an intention of making sure that this isn't happening in connection with either their facility or their event or their association. Is that a good way of describing it?
I wish we had that many people.
Okay.
We're really grassroots. So our job is really getting the word out and creating awareness. And it is getting out. Hotels, convention centers, they're also doing a lot of training. So it is coming together. And we have to understand that this hotel chain wants to do it this way, this hotel chain this way. this hotel chain doesn't want to have anything to do with it.
Oh,
and
okay.
We need laws. We're not government lobbyists. We just don't have the power. Yeah. We do know that in the U.S., in certain states, it is the law that every hotel room must have a sign. We're working on that here in Canada. We're asking them to make that decision for their own. But the awareness is definitely growing, without a doubt. I actually just did a Canadian-wide webinar on Canadian statistics last week. I'm going to be at a conference in Edmonton at the end of January because we've had a lot of trouble breaking into Western Canada. It's our opportunity for that. So it's putting out a lot of feelers and creating a lot of awareness. It's really what we do.
That's kind of the first initial gate everyone has to get through, because certainly in the people I've encountered, there's a regular assumption that this happens other places.
Yeah.
This is a foreign country's problem. And people don't have a real understanding that, no, this happens right in your own backyard at functions that you may be attending. So that realization is really hard for people to kind of wrap their minds around, I think, a lot of the time.
It could be your children, too.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
That's where we make it personal. And that's usually where we can capture somebody. And as soon as we say, so how old are your kids?
Yeah.
And that's how we capture them. The other way we capture them is about saying, this is not saying your hotel or your convention center or your city is bad. This is about what can you do? This is about being a good citizen. You know, the whole ESG, the whole, if I'm a meeting planner and I'm coming in and I've got $500,000 worth of business and you can't tell me that your hotel is training or awareness or something, but yeah, this hotel can and it's the same price, guess where I'm taking my business?
Yeah.
We mix it all up. We mix it all up with risk management. We mix it all up with your heart. We do whatever we can to get the word out.
I love that point, though, that there's real dollars behind this and that professionals, regardless of what industry they're in, whether it's meeting professionals, which is your area, but if you're in a procurement team for a large corporation, you should have the same attitude, which is, hey, if I'm going to buy from a supplier who tells me that they've got a training program and they do an audit program and they've got a policy against it and they're a signer onto the United Nations Pact for Human Rights versus another supplier that's like, I don't know, no, we don't have anything about that. Guess which one you should choose.
Exactly. And we're also telling the meeting planner, when they start to register people for the conference, put something in your notes there. Because it shows that you care about the person coming to the event well as the people who work in the event. You mentioned supply chain and all of that. And I mean, we get into a lot of that. Housekeeping is a perfect example.
Oh, yes. Yep. There's a horrible story that I won't use the hotel name, but coming out of Florida where it was, you know, a major household name hotel chain that a reporter from, I think it was the New York Times, followed housekeeping staff home one night. Find they were living in an abandoned shipping container and being trafficked there, no running water, no electricity, and we're working in this hotel right on the Miami Strip. And you forget about the layers of subcontracting that can get involved here, where someone hires somebody to provide housekeeping services that they subcontract who subcontracts who subcontracts, and you end up with trafficked people.
And again, it's about, let's not blame that hotel yet.
Yeah.
Let's see what they're going to do now that they know.
Yeah.
And that's the key. There was an issue here just north of the city about 3 years ago now. And the particular hotel group in that resort town actually brought in those housekeepers who were being trafficked and found them rooms within the hotel for X number of days. I don't remember what it was. And if they could, they would hire them.
To kind of escape that cycle.
Yeah. And that's why when people say it's really sad and how do I keep my head above water? Well, I don't always ask my husband. But for the most part, we're seeing good stuff happen.
Yeah.
And that's what can change things, I believe.
I agree that even just the small incremental changes that each individual can make can really have a huge impact. Tell me a bit about the helplines, because I visited your website and saw that you have helplines. Is that for victims to call? Is it for business people to call and get more information? What is the kind of...
Anybody.
Anybody. Okay.
Anybody. The numbers we put up there, so we have US, and Canada and Mexico. And we put up the global modern slavery. So if you're in another country, say you're taking a group to another country, you can find out what the number is there. It's if I'm walking down the street and I see something that doesn't look right, I have it in my phone. We suggest people put it in their phone. And it's for anybody. So I can call in and say, look, I'm at the corner of such and such, and I think this is what I'm seeing. And she, he, they look like they're about 15 and they're being pushed by their hair, whatever. Then it's up to the caller, and they're trained to say, okay, we'll take it from here. And then they will call the police or call whatever. It's out of our hands. It's for a survivor to call. And here's where having signage in hotel rooms helps. Mm. If you've got the in Canada, the 800 number in all of the hotel rooms, and a survivor and a person who's being trafficked can get a hold of that number and is ready to do something. They're not always ready.
Yeah.
They could call that number and say, look, I'm in trouble. And most of them honestly need housing. They say that 30% of those who leave trafficking need housing
for unhoused. Yeah.
So it's all of those things. It's in the airports. I've seen it in a number of airports. Mm. It's really for anybody. And if you're working in a hotel and you see it, you need to ask this as a planner, what's your chain of command? For the most part, it's contact front desk, who will then contact their director of security, who in most cases contacts the police. That's what those numbers are for. And on a personal level, put it in your phone.
Yeah. It's a small thing that you can do and yet make a huge difference in someone's life.
Yeah. I know somebody who is in our business and she was traveling back home. There was somebody who looked like they were being harassed 3 or 4 seats in front of her on a train. And she was able to do it in big print, kind of get her to see it, and got the girl to get off the train with her where this where my colleague, her husband, was picking her up. And I know this person, it was all done in really good faith. Yeah. They then called the 800 number and said, here's who was harassing this person. And then it's in their hands. And the person was okay. And my colleague and her husband, the young woman was going back to university, drove her to her dorm.
Oh my gosh.
And that's honestly as a result of awareness that we're doing in our industry.
Yeah. And I mean, likely changed the course of that young woman's life. I mean, who knows what would have happened if a bystander hadn't intervened. I've heard a lot lately about that kind of bystander intervention and training people to speak up and to step in and to create a distraction or somehow get between people that look like they may be causing harm. Is that something that you think is a good idea? Or do you think it's more kind of call and get professionals to help you? Because I worry sometimes about people inserting themselves within a trafficking situation, that it could be really dangerous.
It's dangerous for the person being trafficked and it's dangerous for the person intervening. Tell people, don't do that.
Yeah.
Because if you intervene and the trafficker finds out, the trafficker is going to go after you and the trafficker is going to go after the person being
trafficked. The person being trafficked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go get this phone number. Go visit the website and make sure you have these numbers so you can know who to call if you see something you get.
If you're in a hotel, directors of security have told us to phone the front desk and make a noise complaint and they'll send somebody right away.
Oh, that's a great tip. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. If you're in a hotel. Okay. And that's what we were told from a director of security. Does it work in all hotels? I don't know.
Yeah. But it's a good way of getting someone there without necessarily intervening yourself and making sure that someone else is looking in on that room.
Yeah.
Fascinating. All right. So I talk to a lot of people in industries that aren't really sure where to start with this. And I know we've talked about getting the phone number, putting it in your phone, making yourself aware of it as you're spending dollars to check for your vendors. What else do you think people at corporations should be doing? Should they be running a risk assessment? Are there areas that, I mean, for me, I would say probably hotels and meetings is an area I have overlooked in the past, and it wouldn't have occurred to me as being a good spot for an effort. But now, taking away from this call, I'm definitely going to look at how we spend our money within the various organizations that I work with to see if they're looking for this in their kind of meetings and seminar space.
So before you book the space, we would send out an RFP to a number of venues.
Okay.
And that's one of the questions we ask. What does your property do or don't do? And if the salesperson doesn't know, I hope they're a smart enough salesperson to say, let me talk to somebody who does know.
Yeah.
But I also think that we have to be smart about it. Most of the large chains are doing something, and this is kind of my, well, they all are, to be honest. I think a lot of the training from what I've seen, and everybody needs to be trained, a lot of it's when they're brought on board, and it's a lot of online training. So you answer A, B, C, or D.
Okay.
But as a teacher, if my student would answer B, I'd want to know why.
Yeah.
I never did multiple choice, which made it a lot harder to mark stuff. Yeah. But I want to know why. I want to know that, do you talk about it through the year? Do you maybe quarterly have a meeting and say, let's just talk about this? Because I think you get more out of it that way. And certainly you should have the onboarding one. If you go to PACT USA or PACT, I can't remember what they've changed it to, but they have, it's Unpacking Professionals something in the PACT basic website. And it is for the hotel industry.
Mm.
Got some great stuff on it. And it will tell you in the US what laws are required. And they'll give you, for example, the sizing that the sign has to be.
It should be. Okay.
Kind of thought. And in fact, the work that we're doing here in Canada, when a hotel says, yeah, we're interested, we're saying, go here. Don't reinvent the wheel. Mm-hmm. Find something that works for you. We don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
You just have to know where to look for it.
And how to introduce the wheel to the people that you work with to make sure they know where these resources are. And in that regard, when you say the PACT website, I'm going to ask you to spell it. Is it PACT like P-A-C-K-E-D?
Or no, it's P-A-C-T. Used to be PACT USA. Mm-hmm. And if you go to PACTUSA.org, it'll take you to the new, whatever their new term is.
The new site is, okay.
Yeah. But look for the one that says Unpacking Professionalism or something like that. And it will list a whole bunch of stuff. Marriott has given their training free to this organization, which is great. I explained what I'm not happy with in terms of that kind of training.
Yeah.
And it's better than nothing.
Yeah, but to your point, it needs to be complemented with conversations and interactions and not just one and done. It needs to be an ongoing effort.
Yeah. And there's been new laws that have been introduced. We just had a new law introduced in Canada that takes effect January.
Yeah.
Where the larger corporations have to basically report every year on their supply chains.
Yeah.
It's not perfect. It's not going to help your mom and pops who are doing this kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it's a start. And there's a law like that in the UK, which they're just revisiting now to make it more inclusive. There's also one, there's a little tidbit that I found out the other day, actually. The law in California, which has been around for quite some time, was put through with Schwarzenegger when he was governor.
Mm.
And it was written in part by Kamala Harris.
Oh.
So that's my little tidbit, which I just found out.
For regular listeners of the podcast, there is a separate episode about the new Canadian law recorded earlier this fall. And there's also episodes covering the California Act. So I urge you to, wherever you're listening to this, look up some old episodes and find those, because those are on the podcast as well.
Awesome. That's fabulous. It's good to know. I honestly think that it's about people having responsibility for other people more than anything else.
I agree. So thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today and educating us all about MPAT. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes.
Your abbreviation? Yeah. Meeting Professionals Against Human Trafficking. For people that want to continue this conversation or learn more about MPAT, where do you suggest they go? To your website? To you? How do they get in contact with you?
Go to the website, or they can get in touch with me at my email, sandy.byback@outlook.com. That's the one I look at most. And we entertain any questions. We don't give you legal advice. We are not lawyers, but we answer them to the best of our ability, or we send them someplace where they can get the information.
Well, and for everyone listening, go to the website and put those phone numbers in your phone so you have them as resources for you to encounter something. That's an easy thing you can all do right now. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time, Sandy. Great to meet you.
Thanks, Gwen. Thanks a lot. Take care.